The Here podcast is all about reclaiming your power and reconnecting with your mind and body. By releasing our stories and the power they have had over our lives and creating a compassionate and supportive community, we can bring love, understanding, awareness, and healing to ourselves and to all who need it most. Join me in saying, enough is enough. I own my power. I am ready for the next chapter of my life, and it will be the most amazing one yet. Content may be discussed that could be distressing to you depending on where you are in your healing journey. If the episode becomes triggering, practice self-care by turning off the episode. If you need to talk to someone, you can always contact your local crisis center or RAIN's national hotline via chat on their website at rain.org or by calling 1-800-656-HOPE. All the links are provided in the show notes. Hello and welcome back for part two of Joanna's story, her story, how she shared it with me. I also want to thank you so much for listening to part one of her story. It was the first time she shared her story out loud, and it was very difficult for her, but she wanted to do it. She had made the decision that it was time. She wanted her voice to be heard. So it is just so incredibly, we, meaning survivors, are so incredibly honored that you are listening to our stories. And the reason is because so often we feel like it's our fault, that we need to not talk about it so that we don't cause our loved ones pain because they're going through their own thing, whether it be guilt for not knowing, anger, whatever the case may be. And so we feel like we need to be quiet so that we don't cause our families any more pain. But that is at the deep, deep detriment of our own healing and well-being. So by you listening to our stories and giving us space to share our stories, you are saying, I hear you. You are seen. You are cared for. And you just honor us so much with your love. So I wanted to thank you very, very much for tuning in. And I appreciate you coming back to hear the rest of her story. So thank you very much. And without further ado, this is part two of Joanna's story.
I do remember, even though she helped me so much at the time, that it was still difficult for me to tell her the reason why I felt so conflicted with what had happened to me. It was very difficult for me to admit that even though I was abused, I came back to him. I came back to my abuser multiple times because I felt that that was the price to pay for the friend that I wanted. And I didn't have the courage to tell her. And I was still struggling with feeling like it was my fault. And I didn't, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, well, how confusing for you, because he was your friend. He's saying that he hates, you had mentioned like he hates predators. He's talking about online predators. He was your friend. He was your go-to when your home life was so hard. And then there was this thing.
Yeah, it was, it was so confusing. It was almost the entire experience was a confusion of, you know, what our brother is supposed to be like, and what is this? And if he hates predators, then what does that make him? So that was, it was very conflicting for me growing up, even when dealing with it through therapy when I was 20, I felt like I was able to process enough of what was going on in my life to be able to graduate nursing school and to be able to go to earn a commission into the Air Force. So I feel like I wasn't able to process as much. I feel like I wasn't able to process everything at the time when I was 20 during my therapy sessions, but I feel like it was just enough to where I had a place to ventilate so that I could go back into school and focus on the things that matter to me and focus on my goals, I guess. And so I felt like I've done it. I was like, yep, I finally graduated nursing school. I'm getting a job in the military. I don't have to stay at home. I can leave. And so I didn't feel the need to go back into my past. I felt like I have done it. I have graduated both from school and from my own trauma. I'm like, all right, I get to go out in the world and I'm done with this. And so it was such a happy time. I do remember I was very happy with what had happened, and I felt like I had come to terms with what had happened. And so when I had all those things and I graduated and I did the things that I thought I would never be able to do because of how difficult it was in school for me, there wasn't a reason to suffer in my own pain, because there was something else to be excited about. And I thought I had done it. Of course, now after graduating and being able to leave my house and finally learning how to enjoy life, let me backtrack. It wasn't until after college that I had finally started to enjoy things and actually enjoy my time without feeling guilty that I was not studying or working towards something. And so that was about the same time that I had started going camping with a really close friend and his family members, who, and my close friend who's now my fiance. But I remember, I miss California so much. I remember going to the lake with them. It was one of the lakes around Lake Tahoe, and we were camping, and it was one of those spots where we were disconnected from any sort of contact from the world, and you didn't have signal, you were just there, and the experiences that you had there were there. You couldn't have them through your phone, you couldn't have them through the internet. It was the first time I felt like I could actually experience what was happening around me. I remember like watching the sunset, watching the sun rise, and breathing in the air and laughing with everyone and feeling so content and so happy. And finally realizing that that I didn't have to work as hard as I did to be happy, that there was this place that existed in the world where I was extremely happy, and I wasn't even working at the time. I always felt like everything is going to be okay as soon as I graduate and find a job and leave this house being my parents' house. And I remember camping with these amazing people and realizing that I've been working so hard to be financially stable that I had sacrificed some of the richness and joys of enjoying other people's company, of enjoying the outdoors, of just enjoying the richness of life itself. And so I was super content and very happy with life then. But it wasn't until later in my relationship that I have now, my fiance, that I realized there were moments that my past would come up, and it wouldn't be visual flashbacks. They were emotional flashbacks. I didn't know that was a thing. So I thought that, like, okay, well, what I had been through probably isn't that bad because I'm not getting visual flashbacks like they say PTSDs or that folks with PTSD do. And so maybe what I'm going through just like isn't that bad. But I would have these very strong emotional flashbacks of when I was in a situation where I was reminded of feeling trapped, or when I felt like I was being yelled at, and my mind was switched. And I mean, I guess it's kind of really odd because in military training, we were being yelled at a lot, but I didn't feel that way. But when it was a loved one, like my fiance, that was upset, and there was like a raising of a voice, I would immediately go into stress mode, and I'd be fearful, and I'd be angry, and I'd feel scared and vulnerable and almost like out of control, or my emotions felt out of control. And I couldn't figure out why. I blamed it on, you know, the PMS, on anything. I was like, I don't know, maybe I'm about to start my period. I have no idea why I'm like this. It wasn't until now that I'm actually doing the work that I'm realizing that there are patterns. There are patterns of my trauma that echo in the different things that I go through now today. And I didn't see it back then because I was too busy and too preoccupied with trying to survive.
What are some of the things that you do? I don't know if it'll ever fully go away. It's much better, but I still have those. It's almost like it's a reaction. It's my body's reacting and not my mind, meaning it's automatic for my body to respond in a way that I don't even realize what's happening versus like if I see something sad and I start to feel emotional and depressed and scared, that's very, I can relate that, but something might happen and it's almost like deep in my cells or my sense memory, I respond. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's very, like you feel saturated with these feelings and that emotion and what you're feeling. And it just kind of, it almost bubbles up almost instantaneously and it just gets strong and overwhelming.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't even know. I mean, I know for myself, sometimes I don't even know what had triggered it. What happened. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That happens. And it was so frustrating because it would feel so benign to my partner. He'd be like, what's going on? Like something would happen on the television screen or something that reminded me of what had happened. And I would get very upset and short and almost muted. Like I could not verbalize what was going through my mind. And I couldn't explain what I was going through. That's something I'm still trying to navigate today. I feel like I've gotten better at it just recently. I want to say within this past year, I've gotten better at trying to communicate myself. I've gotten better at trying to communicate how I feel and what I'm going through. I didn't understand why I would have these emotional flashbacks. I didn't know that they were emotional flashbacks. But I knew that I would have these bursts and I was struggling to communicate. I was struggling to communicate myself when I got emotional with my partner. I guess when I now, and it's taken me a really long time to realize this, I think, well, one, I think it started with me trying to pinpoint what was bothering me. And after growing up in a family where my problems didn't matter and I had to shove them in a rug continuously, I was taught and I was conditioned to ignore my intuition, ignore what I felt, ignore the things that I wanted to say because it was I was punished for it. I was verbally abused for it, and so I was trying to figure out one. When recently I've been trying to figure out how I feel first. It's almost like I have to acknowledge the feeling and then I have to do a lot of work to uncover where did that come from? Where was the point where I felt like things had changed or I felt like something had clicked inside me? And it was very difficult at first because I thought that the issues or the arguments that I had with my partner were for one reason, when in actuality it was for that reason, but also because also because whatever had happened in that argument had reminded me of what I had grown up with. And so now it's gotten a lot better. I feel like I've been able to pinpoint the different things that trigger me. I think there are other things that still exist out there that I haven't really dealt with, but I've kind of gotten a grasp of the things that bother me and the situations that bother me. Really, it's any situation where I feel trapped, or any situation where I feel like I'm not being heard, or any situation that I'm being yelled at, that I kind of snap into 14-year-old Joanna, vulnerable, scared, and afraid, and speechless. And so I think I'm still learning these things about myself. And I think that I'm putting in a lot of focus into myself the same way I put a lot of focus into my science classes. So I became my own science project, so to speak. And I just made it a point to understand my patterns and understand what was going through in my head, what was going through my mind emotionally. And I just started writing, keeping a record of these things. I think I was trying to get in touch with my creativity because after so many years of singing and not singing, I wanted to go back into that realm of creativity. And so through that, I was reading The Artist's Way. Through that, I had learned to adopt journaling every day, and that's kind of how I have been able to be more in touch with myself and how I feel and why things bother me, and just kind of express my emotions and my feelings on paper in a way that I never did growing up. And so that was kind of the practice that opened up this journey for me, or this personal journey for me. There were things that I realized that I wasn't able to process in my own trauma, just because I didn't have the time to. There were other things that were more important to me, and it was getting out of a very stressful situation. And so now that I was digging it back up because I was having problems in my relationship, it wasn't until very recently that I realized, oh my gosh, I have so much work to do.
You have done so much work already, though, to be at a point right now where you just spent this time with me telling me your story, and you are able to pinpoint when you're triggered. And I mean, just so much incredible work that you've done so far is amazing.
I really appreciate that. I started this project, or I started the Relentless Project, because I was done with being silent, and I wanted to be able to use a creative outlet to reach out to other people who have had experiences like me. And through that, I've been able to find different books and resources, and I was doing a lot of research. So I already had The Courage to Heal. That's one of the books that I used when I was 20.
Me too. I actually still have that. And that was, I don't remember there being a lot of books, but The Courage to Heal. That was the first book that I read specifically about child sexual abuse that helped me, help me process some things.
Yes. Yes. And it was such a great resource at the time when I had it around like early college, because I went to a school with a huge library. I want to say 7 floors, and the only books they had were like 4 on sexual abuse and incestuous abuse, anything like that. And so I was starving for information to understand what I've been through. And The Courage to Heal was the only book that I could find that was so comprehensive. It was almost overwhelming to read from beginning to end.
Yes, I remember. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And so I had that book, and now I have that. I have the workbook. I have The Body Keeps Score, which is another really good one that I just recently found. Trauma and Recovery by, so it was The Body Keeps Score by Bessel van der Kolk, and then Trauma and Recovery by Judith Herman. I haven't gotten to Trauma and Recovery, but I've really started taking a deep dive into The Body Keeps Score and really started just understanding what I've been through and understanding the reasons why I've been having these different issues interpersonally in my intimate relationship. And oh my gosh, I had already launched the Relentless Project, and I'm like, I was so gung-ho. I'm like, yes, I'm going to create art, and I'm going to be able to reach out to people just like me. And I was thinking about making a podcast, but I had launched the Instagram before the podcast, just kind of like a soft opening, so to speak. I didn't tell anyone about it. I just started the Instagram. But I knew in my head that I wanted to do the podcast, so I had created the Instagram for the podcast and started making illustrations. And then it wasn't until I started doing the research that I'm like, oh, man. Like, there's so much work I have to do that I didn't realize I still have to do within myself, and just reprocessing everything and understanding my parents from in the eyes of a 28-year-old now, looking back. There's just these new understandings that I have about them, about myself, that had prompted me to do my own personal work. So I had launched the Instagram, and I had already started recording for my podcast, because I was going to record a batch and then actually like launch it down in September. But I was in this place where I was like, oops, maybe I should work on myself before I actually follow through with this. So I almost felt like, holy crap, like pressured to deliver with something that I had committed myself to, and pressure to go through the healing stages of my own personal journey. So
were you nervous to start your podcast because you felt you weren't healed enough to be able to serve others?
Yes. Yes. And I was very afraid to do it. I knew in my mind what I had a vision of what I wanted to do. I wanted to launch a podcast. I wanted to launch it to the people that I knew on Facebook. That's what I decided in myself. This is what I'm going to do, because I'm tired of being silent, and this is what has happened to me, and it wasn't my fault. And there's just this huge thing that I'm passionate for, and I want to act upon it. And so I had decided that I wanted to do that. And then I had realized that there was so much personal work that I still needed to do after launching the Instagram. And I haven't even launched the podcast yet. So I think it was a good 2 weeks that I was trying to process through everything that was going through. I finally found a therapist, online therapy, during this entire situation, the global situation. It's been actually doing the work and having a space to do it and actually processing it in a safe space is completely different than me trying to process it when I was 20 or younger, because I still had to interact with a traumatic home, with a group of people who, I guess, family members who didn't understand what I was going through. And so it wasn't a supportive place at all. And so now that I have the space and now that I have the support, it's completely different. I'm able to see things now that I never was able to see before. And it's been transformative, because I was afraid, and I was pressured to commit to launching the podcast. But after talking it through with my friend Jeanette, who's now studying to be a clinical psychologist, or is now finishing her practicum to be finishing her degree in clinical psychology to be a therapist. Oh, it wasn't until I had a conversation with her before my podcast launched that she was like, because I had said to her what my podcast launch was going to be like, and it was like a, what she called a trauma narrative. I think that's therapy lingo for your trauma story, I guess, the story of your trauma. And I had sent it to her, and it told my story. It wasn't in detail at all. It was, this is what happened to me. I was a child, and I was abused, and the people that I thought I could trust were the people that I couldn't trust, and this is where I'm at, and this is my project, and this is what I'm passionate about, and my story is not unique, and I was asking my podcast launch, was basically asking my friends, family, and acquaintances and colleagues to share this project with other people through their social circles. And she read it, my friend Jeanette read it, and she was like, oh my God, this is a trauma theory. This is a trauma narrative. And I'm like, oh, what? She said, I think it might be a good idea to maybe sit on it for a little bit and just kind of sit in your emotions and, you know, sit in everything that you're going through right now before you launch this. Because I was ready to send it the next day. I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to commit to this before I even like change my mind. But I had taken a full week to really let my story sink into myself, because that was the first time when I had written my quote unquote trauma narrative, that was the first time that I had realized, that was the first time I had told myself my own story. And this was after, I think, you had asked me to interview for your podcast. And I was like, I have to do this, because I told her I was ready for it, and I can't flake on this person that I think is so amazing. And I was like, okay, I need to take some time to myself. And I think I tried to record my story once, and it was then that I realized, okay, I still had to process what had happened to me, because I hadn't told my story. I hadn't told the story that I had been through to myself yet. And so very recently I have been, I want to say go to therapy, but I don't really go to therapy. It's online. So.
You don't have to go anywhere, just into the other room.
Exactly. Just close my door and be in another room. But now that I've been having that sort of support in my journey, it's been so different. It's helped me to learn more about how to take care of myself while I am kind of having these moments of, I guess, introspection as I'm learning more about what had happened to me and what I've dealt with. And so some of the recent things that I've learned, one was, understanding my triggers and obviously not all of them just yet, but understanding the triggers that I've discovered so far, and understanding my feelings and how to verbalize my feelings. And finally, understanding that it's okay to have these very strong emotions. I always beat myself up for having these very strong emotions, because I was, my family would constantly complain about how I was always the sensitive one. And so I had fought so hard against my feelings that when I finally realized that I had to, that the only way to process feelings in a healthy way was to actually feel them, I was very confused. Because I didn't know what that looked like. And I'm like, what? Really? Like, I have to feel the feelings? And it's like... And everything that I've read was like, yeah, you have to feel the feelings and let them kind of bubble up. And so that's kind of what I've been working on recently, was identifying how I feel because I think that this trauma, it brings up very complex emotions. It's not just anger, it's not just sadness, it's not just fear. It brings up so many at once that it's difficult to pinpoint how we feel in a moment. And I think that's why I had so many stress migraines growing up, because there were so many things that I was going through emotionally that I could not process. And now that I'm actually learning how my body responds to my triggers and how my mind responds to my triggers, I'm able to at least verbalize it. And it's such a huge thing to be able to do that, because I wasn't able to do that before. So recognizing my triggers and understanding my emotions that are causing that. And then another thing that I'm working on is understanding how to communicate my feelings. Oh my gosh, it's so difficult. Because it's almost like, okay, first I have to learn what I'm trying to tell myself, and then I have to learn how to communicate this to a different human being that hasn't had my experiences.
Right.
Oh my gosh. I was like, holy crap, how do I do that? But I think I've gotten better at it. I think I've gotten better at explaining how I feel and setting boundaries for myself. And I think whenever I would get into an argument or a discussion with someone, and I felt like I wasn't ready to have that argument or discussion, I've recently been able to set boundaries for myself and say, look, I know it doesn't make sense why I'm upset or angry or emotional right now, but I can't properly think. I can't logically think right now, and I'm going to need some space. I'm going to need a little bit of a break before I can talk to you about this thing or have this discussion with you. And it's such a huge change from before, because I think that in my interpersonal relationships, I've always had the habit of taking the blame and just moving on and apologizing for myself, just so that the situation would be better. And it was the first time that I've actually been able to take ownership for how I feel and to actually have the courage to take space, my mind and my thoughts and my emotions, and actually defend myself, because I wasn't able to do that before. But I think that's kind of been helping me with my triggers. I don't know if that's, I don't know if that was confusing.
It was perfect.
Hello, I wanted to apologize. This next section, I was having some serious issues with the internet, with my computer, with all kinds of stuff. So my audio is very wonky throughout the end, which I'm super sad about. But Joanna's audio is nice and clear and crisp, so you still will be able to enjoy her wisdom and her story. And I apologize for the audio malfunction.
So realizing your triggers, I think that you explained it really well, how the process you go through, and it's crazy, the artist's way. Someone recommended it. I heard about it like maybe a few weeks ago, and then literally today I was in a meeting for work, and the CEO of my company, the meeting was about to get started, and he goes, before we start, Felicia, have you ever heard of this book, The Artist's Way? I thought of you, and he had it. He goes, I thought of you, and I thought you should get it. And I'm like, oh, and now you're bringing up The Artist's Way. So it must be a very magical tool to use. And I also appreciate all the books that you mentioned. I'm scribbling them down. The Body Keeps Score, Trauma and Recovery. I did know of the Courage to Heal, but no, that all made sense. And is so incredibly powerful. Thank you so much. I loved how you said, I have so many notes. I just loved how you said, I'm sorry, how your friend's mom said, I don't think you know who Joanna is. That was just, it was just so beautiful because,
oh my gosh,
I often still even feel that way. I know much more who I am. And I'm 43. Mm-hmm. Took me a long time to really step into my skin. And I love this and have the courage to take space. That was just beautiful.
Oh yeah. It's, thank you. it's, I feel like I'm able to see things in a different way in myself that I haven't been able to. I'm able to see different patterns. I'm able to understand my parents in a whole different way that I never was able to while growing up, just because it was so stressful living with them. And it's been a different journey than it was when I was 20, than it was when I was 14, trying to process what I was going through. And so reading The Artist Way had prompted me to get in touch with my creativity and to get in touch with who the fabric of Joanna was. And that was how I had discovered my passion for making art and my drive to create something where I could reach out to other people with the experiences that I've had.
With your relentless project, what is, so you have your podcast and you would like to reach out to people. I would love to hear your, what is your ultimate goal with this project that you have now launched?
Yes, my ultimate goal is to be just another voice out there in the world speaking my story and reaching out to, my ultimate goal with the Relentless Project is to reach out to the people that were in the same situation or in a very similar situation that I was in. Sorry, I'm not explaining myself correctly.
No, I think you are. You are.
It was a very isolating experience, and I think it was very important for me to create something for the, I guess, the other people in the world who are feeling alone and isolated in their own experiences. And I think before, when I was 14, it would have been so powerful to be able to talk with someone or hear someone who had been through a similar experience. And I didn't have that. I was starving for books. I was starving for anything that would help me understand what I was going through. And so my whole goal with the Relentless Project is to, I guess, remind other survivors that they're not alone, and to share the things that I've learned along the way. And I guess to have a platform where I can share these different things that I've learned, but also have a platform where I can gain some insight on how to heal or process the trauma. Not to be a replacement for therapy, but I guess to reach out to other survivors through a creative medium. And so that's kind of the goal with the Relentless Project, is to be able to reach out to other survivors through a creative medium. And so I haven't limited it to just a podcast or an Instagram account. I kind of left the door open to myself if I wanted to try other different mediums of being creative. But eventually what I envision it to be is somewhere where other people can, I guess, share their art and poetry and their experiences, either through word or artwork of their experiences. Because I feel like, for me, at least processing through my own trauma, I feel like it was easier for me to express myself through art, because it was always difficult for me to verbalize my feelings. And so sometimes my words were not enough to go through what I've been through. It wasn't enough to explain what I've been through, but I've been able to express my emotions through different types of art growing up. It was through poetry, it was through art, it was through music. It was through the music that I wrote, and I wanted to provide that sort of platform for other survivors, but also get, I guess a little selfish part of the project is to be able to use that as my creative medium to share my story.
I love that. I think I was the same. I wrote a lot of poetry. I'm not a good artist like you. You have beautiful, your Instagram page is beautiful. I love seeing your posts. I did write a lot of poetry and express myself through writing. I also played the flute and the piano, really loved music, helped me as well. And I think that is an awesome, awesome vision. I love that you're incorporating art. When I was growing up, and I still have it, I wrote a lot, and I wrote a lot of poetry. And I always put it out there that my guests can also, if there's anyone out there that wants to write in, and I'll read their story, like if they're very nervous, they want to tell their story, but they're nervous to actually use their voice. And I received from a young woman that I was going to start episodes where it's dedicated to reading those pieces of poetry or the written story for those people. And so I think that that's just awesome.
Yeah, I think it's so powerful to be able to dedicate a space where survivors can share their stories at any extent they're able to. Just because I feel like growing up, and I think for a lot of survivors growing up, we constantly live in the space where we're trying to get by with what the expectations are from us, from society, from our families, from ourselves, that we don't have that opportunity to tap into the fabric of our experiences and the fabric of our pain and where it comes from. I love podcasts. And so that's kind of why I came up with the idea. And when I had found that you were doing it too, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. Like, I'm not doing this alone.
I felt the same way. I felt the exact same way.
Girl, oh my gosh, this is like, it's so much hard work that I didn't realize. I knew it was going to be hard work, but I didn't realize that I would be pouring so much time into it, just the way I have been, like going back and actually record, like one, having things to record about, and two, actually going back and to edit it and then, you know, manage the social aspect of it, which is a whole nother animal. I love it so much though. It's different being able to take the time to do something I'm really passionate about. And I can tell that my fiance is really, he's been really supportive about it. He doesn't know exactly what I'm going through as far as what I process, but I have been able to communicate to him, just my healing process and in general, and I've been able to tell him about my project and the importance of my project, and he's been only supportive, which is amazing because he's basically my tech guy for all of the recording things, and he's been so great in that aspect. It's a different place to finally have the support system and to have a safe space where I can not only just process what I've been through, but to be able to do things that I am truly passionate about. And I think this is the first time in a very long time that I've felt, some sort of spiritual connection with a higher power. If you want to call it that. It's the first time I've ever really felt in touch with myself and what I'm doing. It's been totally transforming for sure.
I feel the exact same way. It's truly, I feel like for the first time in my life that this is my purpose and I found it. And it is very, it's hard work, but it's, I don't say it's easy for me to do, but it's, I don't ever feel like not doing it, I guess. No matter how tired I am or if I have to do it after hours or whatever the case may be, I don't ever feel like, oh, I have to do this. I don't ever feel that way. This is absolutely my purpose. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I wanted to just ask you one more thing so I just wanted to ask you one more thing. I think it's really important for parents out there, and I know I've talked about it in other episodes, but when your abuse was revealed, when your parents found out, I mean, you were talking about that therapy session, share with parents out there, what would have been the reaction you desperately wanted and needed from your parents?
Oh my goodness. I think what would have made a world of a difference was to, one, have the environment where I felt safe enough to tell them what was happening. If I think it's huge for a parent to give the space and the time to speak about whatever is bothering them. If I had gone back, I think it would have made a world of a difference. And I know that they didn't understand what was going on at the time, but I think it would have made a world of a difference if they tried to, if they gave me the opportunity to speak. They gave me the opportunity to feel what I was feeling. And I think that's huge. I know that when I become a parent, I think it's going to be really important to me to learn how to, I'm sorry, my brain just got jumbled.
That's okay.
I think that if they had told me that they had believed me or they had given me the support that I needed emotionally, mentally, it would have made the difference. But to not jump into that space of why did you not tell us? Why did that happen? Why did you let that happen to you? I think there is so much that happens to human beings when they recognize that there is a problem. But at that moment, I think what I really needed was a parent to kind of rein that in and just give me the space to feel, give me the space to tell my story. I think that would have made a world of a difference. And growing up, I think that it would have made the world of a difference if they had tried to understand what I was going through. They had worked so hard to ignore what was happening. They tried so hard to ignore what I had to deal with. they never gave me the opportunity to really share with them how difficult it was for me to go through that experience.
Oh yes, you said it so perfectly. I actually wrote down while you were talking, I took some notes, and you pretty much, you had just expressed what I was thinking and what I wrote, that it's so important for parents and for actually not just parents, anybody who has children in their lives, because that could be all types of people, to just be aware, because abuse can come from anywhere. It could be anyone. So just to be very aware, and I know, you know, sometimes it's even more unrecognizable, but just being aware. And also parents and people who have children in their lives, please, when a child or adult, actually any age, when your loved one finally tells you what has happened to them, big things that I took away from your story and that I've experienced with my own story is please just hold them, love them, try as much as possible. I know that you are going through pain too as the parent and guilt and anger, but try as much as possible to work through your pain and anger and confusion, not with your child. But if you need to find somebody to work that through that with, because when you're, Joanna, you had mentioned things that I, about, it was like you were constantly trying to protect others when you needed protection yourself. And I experienced the same thing. I wanted to protect my mom and her feelings. I wanted to protect the perpetrator's family. I didn't want to ruin their family. I was constantly like trying to protect other people as I was like deteriorating inside because I needed protection. So what happens is if a parent starts sobbing and how was I supposed to know and doing all that, I understand that that's a feeling you're going to have, but maybe like don't do it in front of the child, because what happens to us is we feel guilty for causing you pain. And that just, Joanna, would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And I think that I think definitely at the time my parents, that they probably don't even understand to this day how much guilt I carried for how they felt, and how they reacted after the trauma.
Yes. Yes. I also pulled out that for all of the people out there that we're talking to is we're talking about looking out for the children in your life. I'm including the children that come into your house. So providing a safe space like your friend's mom did, providing a safe home and a safe space for your children's friends as well. So, cause you never know if they're not telling you, you never know what that child is going through. And it might make all the difference in the world that they know when they're over at your house, they're safe, they can relax. I think that that's just so incredibly important. I know it's something I try so hard to provide to all of my daughter's friends, that they know when they're here, they're safe, they're heard, they're seen, they're special, they're loved.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Something else just that I pulled out was a thank you to all the teachers. I pulled out so much. I'm sorry. But it's like all the teachers, if there's any teachers that are listening, thank you. And please keep providing a safe place in your classroom for the children that are in your class and that you come in contact with. Lift them up, make them feel amazing, point out how great they're doing, and just also provide that safe space. And if you're a teacher and you're not doing that, then start doing that.
I agree with you.
I know that we talked a lot and it was so incredibly amazing. You are so brave. And just think of where we're at right this second compared to when we first started. And when we first started, it was wonderful. You were so brave. I hope that didn't come across that way. You were so brave. But now how freely you're talking about it. And the reason I'm saying that is because I definitely think taking time to make sure that you're doing self-care because I have to do that. I go, and then I start to feel myself feel down. And so I've been consciously, it's something I struggle with, especially with the work we do, trying to make sure I take time for self-care. And so that's awesome. And if you feel that you might not be ready to do the work you're doing because you feel you're not in, you have more work to do on yourself before you can serve others, I want you to know that right here and right now, you are in the perfect place to serve others. You are still healing just like I am still healing, and people need that. You are going to be working, you are going to be sharing your message with people who are where you were when you were 14, where you were 20, where you are right now, and maybe some that are past where you are, that, because I know I have, that we can learn from them and learn tools from them. So I am just so incredibly grateful that you're doing the work you do. And I feel emotional now. I'm sorry. I wish I had you. I wish I had you when I was younger. So please keep doing the work you do. And we've shared a lot, but is there anything, I just want to make sure, anything else you want to share? If there's not, that's totally fine, with the audience before we part ways for this evening. And I also want the audience to know that, and you to know, Joanna, that just because we end our conversation this evening, I am still here for you whenever you need me. I know you have a wonderful fiance and friends, and I just want you to know I am here too. So even if you are having any difficulty after the call, just know that I'm here and available. And I keep in contact with the people that I talk with and just have so much love and compassion for you. So I just want you to know that I'm here for you. So see, now I kind of rambled around
with my closing. You're completely fine. I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. And I thank you for giving me the space to speak. Speaking is not, ironically, I started a podcast, but speaking is not the easiest thing for me, especially when it comes to this sort of stuff. And I do find that I do kind of get jumbled whenever I talk about my story. So, which is really odd, because when I'm at work and I'm talking about other things, I feel like I'm able to speak my thoughts more clearly than I can about this particular subject. But it means a lot to me that I share this, that I share my story, and I'm so happy and I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful that you were able to give me this platform. But to your other question about whether I had anything to say to your audience, if there's anyone out there who is a survivor or had just gone through abuse, sexual abuse, you're not alone, and you matter, and your life matters, and there's so much more to life than your trauma. There's so much more. And when you dedicate the time and the space for yourself to go through what you have gone through, life just changes. And you can see life in so many colors, and it's beautiful. Healing is possible. It's possible. And you don't have to do it alone. That's a really important one.
Yes. That is so beautifully said. And for everybody, you have two women right here, for sure, that love you and care for you. And you are absolutely not alone. If you, I definitely suggest going to finding Joanna on Instagram. It's @RelentlessJoanna on Instagram. Right, Joanna?
It's @RelentlessJoanna through Instagram, and the podcast is called The Relentless Project, and the website is www.relentlesspodcast.com. And one of the biggest things for me is to share a bunch of resources that I find, and to share them through a creative medium, but also to be able to share my own process through a creative medium, and to offer that to other people who might need that as well.
That is wonderful. And I'll make sure that all of the links that Joanna just mentioned are in the show notes and on my site, so that you can find them. Thank you, Joanna. Thank you so very much. This was just an incredibly powerful conversation, and I'm so grateful and honest that you trusted me with your story, and it's just so beautiful, and I'm so moved by it. Thank you
so much, Felicia, for doing what you do. This is powerful.
I feel the same way about you. Thank you for doing what you do.